I can't be the Christian God wants me to be without obeying these commandments. Fretting and yielding to pressures are sins. The position of the believer is a position of faith, and faith incorporates optimism. The reason is simple. God is. Moses told Israel, because the Lord shall bless thee, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. You'll find that in Deuteronomy. There's something valid in Peter's position, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. So there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Peter walked on the sunny side of the street. And that's where and when you can help humanity. The person that is down needs the smile, the ray of hope, some brightness sent his or her way. The sense of the words, be careful, is anxiety, distraction. These are faith killers. Be anxious for nothing. That is God's way. It's an absolute. There are no exceptions. Worry is the way of the world. And if I were a sinner, separated from God, unforgiven, uncleansed, and headed for hell, mister, I would be worried. But the believer does not have these problems. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The plan for God for Adam did not include worry. Worry is the result of sin. It's a part of the guilt package. It was after Adam had sinned that he said, I was afraid. Fear is the adrenaline of the sinner. He worries about job, health, studies, friends, taxes, old age, business failure, golf, traffic. The believer lives differently. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, Jesus said. Worry is an abrasive. It burrows within and undermines health and competence, and God hates it as he does theft. A sad heart is a sick heart. It is so noticeable. Artaxerxes the Persian observed it in Nehemiah. Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And Nehemiah said, then I was very sore afraid. Pessimism, gloom, doubt, downcast are the worst possible witness. Is God dead? Has the church suffered foreclosure? Has heaven been evacuated? Have prayers been returned unopened, address unknown? The Persian knew Nehemiah's testimony. Circumstances were not the best at Jerusalem, but God was moving at that very moment to rectify them. You're hurt and hinder others, and you hurt and hinder yourself the most. But a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Nehemiah did not have to relearn such an important lesson to command. A sad heart is a defensive heart. It's a heart in retreat. Nehemiah became an outstanding attacking general. He moved forward. There were times when the piles of rubble and the heckling from outsiders appeared to be too much for the will of the workers. One of his top administrative assistants said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, general, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. But Nehemiah replied, be not afraid. Remember the Lord. This is the believer's secret weapon. Peter learned the same lesson. We have toiled all night, he said, and have taken nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. The tougher the going, the more optimistic Nehemiah showed himself to be. On another occasion, when the people were numbed by outside threat, this matchless leader said, do not be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Fret produces an inferiority complex. Humanizes you. It makes you crawl. And God hates it. God wants you to stand, mister. And having done all, stand. And when you do, he'll roll the sea away. All who are acquainted with baseball know that when a man is afraid that he will not be able to hit, then he can't hit. No matter how good a hitter he is, he must step into the batter's box with confidence. There's no substitute for it. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Worry makes you a coward. Yield to it, and you'll run away. And There's no place for cowards in the kingdom of God. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Job said, the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. The law of attraction goes to work. It can only be canceled by a positive attitude which says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Fret accuses God. It says that God is a liar. It says that I'm too small, too insignificant, too unimportant for God to notice. That is innuendo. The fact is, I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And that's something Satan does not want you to know. He does not want you to know how large your checking account really is. What would any married man think if his wife habitually sought out the neighbors or even her folks to voice great concern whether the needs of his family, food, shelter, transportation, were going to be met? That would be the worst possible form of blackmail. And how must our Heavenly Father feel when members of the family express doubt and alarm in public circles? It's an affront to God. You and I have been placed in the bride of Christ. It's an honored category. I have a covenant relationship with him. It's as sacred as any exchange of promise can be. That no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That is his contract to me. That we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. This is my surrender to him. So, let your way of life be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I ask you, Christian, has God or has not God kept his word with you? He does not always accommodate us with a preview. I must trust, and that isn't always easy, but he has met my needs. That is my testimony up to date. We must all raise our Ebenezers. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. My conduct must reflect the faithfulness of God. Otherwise I sin. God is generous. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Calvary is the best endorsement you and I will ever have. God will not let you down. Satan gave him that chance at Gethsemane. So I've turned toward God for peace. The world system cannot produce peace. The wealthy never, never have enough. The pleasure seeker is never satisfied. The student hasn't arrived. But Christ offers rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will rest you. He offers satisfaction. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He lifts care. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And that is why Paul tells Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain. There's no anchoranism like an unhappy, frightened, grabby, complaining Christian. Such a person turns off sinners. He gives the lie to everything he sings or testifies. I wish there were a sign on many of our churches reading, we fix flats. There are too many downs and not enough ups. The New Testament catalyst is in everything. With thanksgiving, that will do it. Check your assets. Invest what you have. It is true. Little is much when God is in it. So, what time I am afraid, I will trust in God. It's a great line and worth repeating, that courage is fear that has gone to prayer. Thanksgiving is an expression of faith, and faith pleases God. It's one of life's greatest advantages to live under the favor of God. We've heard it said that one of the requisites for fusion of the hydrogen atom is heat. Heat so intense that only a uranium atomic explosion can supply it. Now, thus, one atomic blast becomes the threshold for another and a greater one. Thus, the Christian goes from faith to faith. Begin to praise Jesus. and you'll soon experience the fire and explosion of a baptism in the Spirit that will convince you that Jesus is able. God wants to garrison your mind, sir. Worry will attack. You'll become conscious of threat. God knows what that can do to a human being, so God does something about it. He provides a sweet reliance. Christ is our all in all. I need this provision today when doubt and negativism are raised by questioners on every campus. Brilliant living is better than brilliant thinking. I may not be as astute and as argumentative as the skeptic, but I can enjoy now what he would like to enjoy had he this advantage. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Trust is a sweet way of living, a sweet way of living. I will have my portion of homework assigned. Yes, God has assigned a quota of problems to me. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I accept this course. I'm here to learn, but I'm not here to worry. I'm here to discover and enjoy answers. My instructor urges me to come to him for help. Let your requests be made known unto God. It's when I try to do it by myself that I get into trouble. And do you know something? I would be worried if I were alone. It's time to wait for the Master's disposition, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And when you're determined to give Jesus that place, then everything begins to fall into place. Let's move toward the long, long altar in these next 10 seconds. The more I serve Jesus Christ, the more I love him. There's no life as adequate as life spent in his service. He promises this to you, and you experience it in daily application, that you move from glory to glory. Jesus will never waste your life and leave one talent or potential unemployed. A world system with false values leaves so much that is shimmering and unreal. I don't want any of its mirages of alcoholic fumes, corroding financial greed, the torment of drugs, the vacuum of divorce, the lack of assurance, the nightmare of eternity. So come to this long, long altar and talk to God in your own way and enjoy with me the response which strengthens you in the inner man. Jesus, again, we boldly and publicly confess thee to be the only begotten Son of God. So this is thy prerogative to forgive sin and to grant full pardon, and I thank thee for this peace. I praise thee for a communication beyond price. I know that my case has been settled out of court and that I shall not come into condemnation. Bless the seeker. Make the long, long altar fruitful. Pour out of thy Spirit upon us so that true enthusiasm is literally the fire that thou promised to the believer. I pray for the bewildered on earth, the homeless, the victim of war, the refugee. Please help us to treasure our good fortune, to receive it in trust from thee. And bless the loving and the tolerant from every family in thee. Spread revival to check the threat of Antichrist and his false prophet. In thy name we pray, amen. There is a moving in my soul. Jesus is real at the long, long altar. Jesus will write his credentials on someone's body now, as we once left his imprint at a supper table in the village of Emmaus. There's a case of emphysema that he is healing now. His word to this fruitless thing is as final as it was to the fig tree he withered. Rejoice that he has chosen you for his glory. Do not seek reasons why he has. You would never be worthy enough. He testifies to his victory by using your body. He commands wind and sun. Seek only to be a channel of praise. The meeting has been rich in blessing and fellowship, and there's no substitute for such a gathering. Pray, please pray for churches which substitute card parties and bingo games and suppers. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Our meeting and the flame we feel among us is a reminder that the Spirit will as surely gather us then. as he has gathered us now. So affirm it with revival time, people all over the earth, that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.